Chekhov's laptop. If in the first act you have hung a pistol on the wall, then in the following one it should be fired. Otherwise, don't put it there. Russian playwright Anton Chekhov, laying out the dramatic principle known as Chekhov's gun. In the spring of 2019, as Joe Biden set out on the first leg of his third presidential campaign, his son Hunter was sowing the seeds for the campaign's dramatic conclusion. Even by the standards of Hunter's tumultuous life, the past few months had been eventful ones for America's future first son. The previous October, his girlfriend, Hallie, had taken his .38 revolver from the center console of his pickup truck and thrown it into a trash can outside Janssen's, a high-end grocery store near Wilmington that the Biden family had long frequented. When Hunter discovered his gun was missing, he told Hallie, who was also the widow of his late brother, Beau, to go back and retrieve it. But when she returned to the store later the same day, the gun was no longer in the trash can. The Delaware State Police were called, and Hunter was summoned to the grocery store for questioning. Curiously, for a call about a missing handgun, the Federal Bureau of Investigation showed up, too. Even more curious, two Secret Service agents showed up at StarQuest, the store where Hunter had recently purchased the gun, according to two people familiar with the incident. At the time, the Bidens were not under Secret Service protection, but the agents wanted the paperwork Hunter had filled out to purchase the gun. The owner of the store refused to give it to them because the paperwork fell under the jurisdiction of the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives. The Secret Service has denied any involvement in the incident. Not long after the agents left, the ATF paid its own visit to the store to get the paperwork. The frantic search for the gun ended within a few days when an old man, known to rummage through Janssen's trash for recyclables, turned it in. The incident did not lead to any charges. Hunter had skipped town anyway. A few days after the gun fiasco, Hallie dropped him off in Newburyport, a scenic old port city on the north shore of Massachusetts. Hunter was there to get clean, with the help of ketamine therapy, and Keith Abloh, a well-known psychiatrist. Abloh was an odd choice for a confidant. He was a regular guest on Fox News, where he was recognizable by his clean-shaven head, and he had made headlines back in 2012 for suggesting on air that Hunter's father, a teetotaler, had either been drunk during his vice presidential debate with Paul Ryan or was showing signs of dementia. But Hunter seemed to enjoy his time with Abloh in New England. He talked of writing a memoir and of rearranging his troubled life so that he could spend more time with his family. He practiced yoga, took art lessons, and received intravenous infusions of vitamins and minerals. He skied at Wachusett Mountain and went to a local theater to see Crippled Inside, a play written by a psychologist from nearby Rockport that deals with mental health and addiction. In it, a middle-aged man, Jimmy, reflects on his teenage years when his father, John, a top Justice Department official, bailed him out of scrapes while playing politics in Washington. Hunter was an ideal viewer for this particular drama. At 48, his own personal problems were still complicating his father's ambitions in Washington. His business ventures entangled him again and again with shady characters and people with an interest in influencing Joe. He drank too much and was hopelessly addicted to crack cocaine. A few years earlier, he had been kicked out of the Navy Reserves for failing a drug test. Then, his marriage to his first wife, Kathleen, had unraveled as he embarked on a tabloid-worthy affair with his late brother's wife. He had just fathered a son out of wedlock with another woman, a graduate student moonlighting as a stripper, setting up what would soon become a messy paternity fight. But through it all, as Hunter's political liabilities piled up, Joe had stood steadfastly by him.